Well, ever since 2022, the number one cause of death amongst children in the United States between the ages of 1 and 19 are firearm-related injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Feels very preventable.
Yeah.
And only second to drug poisoning, cancer, suffocation, things like that. Uh-huh. Nasty stuff.
Yeah.
But the issues of gun violence continues. We see it all across our country. We see it here in the city of Detroit.
Yeah.
Much less than we used to, but it hasn't gone away.
No.
And it obviously takes a toll on families that have to bury their son, their daughter, their niece, their nephew, their grandchild. It's absolutely horrific. But it also takes a toll on the community at large. It takes a toll on faith leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a toll on local police. It takes a toll on state police. It takes a toll certainly on those that are trying to help usher in that transition for families like funeral directors. And Patty Lynch, the president of the Lynch Funeral Homes, joins us this morning. Patty, good morning. It's good to have you.
Good morning, guys.
You and a number of other faith leaders, funeral directors, and police officials got together on Sunday to hold a press conference. What is important for people to know from your perspective when you're trying to help people grieve that comes to your mind when it comes to gun violence, particularly in young children?
Well, you know, as you know, we deal with all kinds of situations and, you know, causes of death. And, you know, it's obviously something we don't want to deal with ever, the death of a child, especially the death of a child that is so preventable. And we don't have the normal platform or voices typically that the clergy have or politicians have, but, you know, we deal with this more intensely and more intimately than pretty much any other group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And our family dealt very intimately with the Oxford shootings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we took the opportunity along with many other funeral directors from Metro Detroit to say, hey, listen, we're not here to debate one's right to, you know, protect themselves and to bear arms. What we're trying to do is get people to lock up their firearms because so many of these deaths are accidental and could have been avoided.
Patty, you know, we often hear about gun violence in major cities, but this effort emphasizes that it affects Detroit, college campuses like MSU, small towns like Oxford. Why is it important to break that geographic stereotype?
Right, yeah. I mean, this is something that's impacting everybody across socioeconomic lines and county lines. And, you know, it's just horrifying when some young person gets their hands on a gun and then accidentally shoots themselves or somebody else. And it's just like, this could have been avoided with a little bit more responsibility. Thank God it looks like the numbers are going down since they began enacting this safe storage law. It looks like the deaths for children by firearm is decreasing. So I think the public awareness is getting better, and that's all we can hope for is that it continues to get better. And so, you know, it was moving, and it was good to see so many funeral directors get together to voice their concern as well.
How do you and other funeral directors view your role in that moment? Obviously, you're looking after somebody's everything in a horrific moment, and you do what you can to help them along the way. But how do you view what your role is and or should be or needs to be in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, we can't do anything about death, and we can't do anything about, you know, terrible, untimely death. What we can do is try to help people get through it in a more, you know, organized and dignified way. People are in such a terrible fog, and, you know, they're not necessarily thinking correctly, and so they need guidance, and it takes a whole community, and that's where, you know, friends and pastors and funeral directors and different community leaders come together to uphold people when they're going through this. Funeral directors have the, you know, unique and special privilege of being sort of the lead on it, and so we take it very seriously. But, and, you know, needless to say, we'd much rather be handling the funerals for 90-year-old grandparents and not for 10-year-old kids.
And for listeners, Patty, who you know, feel like this issue is politically stuck, maybe unlikely to change, what gives you, optimism that progress is still possible here in Michigan?
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier, it's not even about, the debate on whether or not we should be able to bear arms and people's right to protect themselves. That wasn't even at the forefront of the conversation. The conversation is really, hey, let's be more responsible with the rights and privileges we've been given as citizens of this great country. And I see that from friends and family on the left and the right, that nobody wants irresponsible gun ownership. Everybody wants responsible people to look after the guns that are in our midst. So that's, I think, the emphasis is let's avoid the deaths that are so preventable.
Patty Lynch with Lynch Funeral Homes, we appreciate your time. We appreciate everybody getting together and talking about this. It's an important issue, and hopefully we can save some kids from these
absolutely
senseless 100%. Acts of violence. Yeah, thanks. That's Patty Lynch. We appreciate your time. Meanwhile, did you hear Fifth Third Bank is making some decisions on closures? Fifth Third Bank to close 75 Michigan branches, including some former Comerica Bank locations as well. It's finalizing their list, but it's pretty extensive.
It is. I know one of the closures is the Comerica right down the street here on the Boulevard is one.
Yeah, they say after the closures, Fifth Third said it will operate 227 branches across Michigan, including 116 in the 5-county Metro Detroit area. It's building a stronger, more efficient branch network that supports customers today and positions the bank for long-term sustainable growth in Michigan and across our expanded footprint, according to a statement from Fifth Third. So they're going to continue serving many people, but it's just going to come in a different way after they acquired Comerica Bank.
Yeah, and I believe this month, the month of June, is when Comerica customers will be getting information about the change in the website and your accounts and all of that. I think they'll start getting notified about that this month, about how that's going to change, because by the fall, things will have changed over.
Things will have changed over, and just making sure people understand where they need to go, how they can do their banking is going to be really important. So, yeah, it's going to be good to get that information out there. Meanwhile, coming up on the other side, we'll get you caught up on some of the headlines. Stephen Moore is going to join us, the senior visiting fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation. He's a former economic advisor to Donald Trump. The new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh, is looking at inflation in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say it's right, it's wrong, but it is a different perspective. And how is that going to impact our buying power? How are consumers going to take that? We'll talk to Stephen Moore on the other side. It's JR Morning.